Thank you for joining us. Get ready to be challenged as Pastor Stephen Sexton shares the word of truth. We pray that this message will activate your God-given potential as you are elevated to new heights by this motivational word.
Oh, man. You know what? Before I get into this, no matter how hard you practice and get things done and in ministry, there's always one more thing to do. Did y'all know that? Y'all know that, right? No matter how you check the mic 15 times and it's the 16th time that you, what in the world just happened here? And I'm telling you, it'll steal your joy. It will. What in the world? Oh. I'm sitting over there praying, oh, gee, I'm about to be anointed, I'm about to be anointed, I'm about to be anointed. Anyway, so when y'all go to places, honestly, aren't you like secretly, because I've been to other places when the sound messes up and whatever, and aren't you like inside real deep, you're like, yes. Don't lie, don't even lie. Boo! Yeah! It's kind of like when I went to the marriage seminar after being married for the first year, and the whole time I'm thinking, we're heathen. We're not married. We're a terrible marriage. We're the worst. And then I start hearing them talk about how everybody's the same, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm wanting to high five. I don't want to change anything because I'm average. I'm good. We're okay. I thought I was terrible, but now I'm the same. And so when I go to places and I see them mess up on a transition or do this, I'm like, we do that. Woo, boy. Right up there with the biggies. So, anyway. Let me pray. And if the sound cuts off, I'll just scream at you. Dear Father, Lord, we honor you. We love you. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in this closing time. God, we're not done. We got things to say and things to impart. And Father, I pray right now that you open ears. God, open perspective, open hearts to hear things that already are known. Lord, make knowledge revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, just, I don't know if you've ever felt this way. But occasionally, sometimes ministers, we can feel overwhelmed, overworked, and underpaid. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, just, you know, overwhelmed, overworked, underpaid. I mean, you know, in ministry, it can just whoop the dog out of you, just whoop you, tired, you feel spent mentally, spiritually, you find yourself with nothing left to give, and you're just like, I'm supposed to minister to these people, and I need someone, you know, to touch me. I need someone to minister to me. I need someone walking beside me. And I'm supposed to be the minister. I'm supposed to be the one to encourage and strengthen and motivate and have the right things to say. You know, it's crazy to me how many mental breakdowns people are having because of stress in their area of ministry. And stress in the church. You know, and I'm just telling you this, the ministry, if you're not careful, can suck the life right out of you. I know people who used to be fun, but they got in ministry. I know people who used to laugh, but now they're in ministry. I know people who used to have a joy and could relate to people, and they were so good with people, and now they've been in the ministry. Does it make sense? You know, when you start in ministry, hey, how you doing? How you doing? I want to let everybody know I love them. You're in ministry 15, 20, 30 years? Ministry. It sucked the life right out of you with all of the planning of events, organization, counseling people, sermon preparation, maintaining the facilities, going to worship practice, posting on your social media so people come to your events. I'm overwhelmed right now. Just There is so many things to do in the ministry to draw a crowd, get people there, have people show up for it to be good. Because you know if you were there at their event, you'd be critical like they're critical of your event. And so you're already thinking what they're thinking. Does it make sense? And so you ministers, I want you to know this morning that, you know what? If you're not careful, you'll be driving your ministries on a court low. You'll be driving your ministry on a court low, and the oil that is supposed to be there to make everything run smooth is burn up. Burn up. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, and I want to talk just briefly on this subject. Matthew 25, verse 1, when you're there, you can say, I got it. Matthew 25, verse 1, it says this: at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Matthew 25, verse 1. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took the oil in the jars along with their lamps, and the bridegroom was a long time coming, and they became drowsy and tired. At midnight, a cry rang out, "The bridegroom, he's coming, he's here!" And all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there won't be enough for you and us. Instead, go to where they sell the oil and get some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were already there went to the wedding banquet. Then the door was shut. Later, the others came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you never know the day or the hour." My assignment today is this: who's got the oil? As a minister, who's got the oil? Who has got the oil? Because I believe in this text we can read, and it will speak to us if we'll just take a moment, that, you know what, sometimes we got to preach to ourselves. Sometimes we got to teach to ourselves. You know, we prepare all of these things for everyone else, but sometimes we need to take time to speak to ourselves about what's, you need to think this way. You need to act this way. You know what? You need to spend time with the Lord. You need to, you know, we work really hard to try to present a gospel message that is something that people want to hear, but sometimes you need to preach to yourself and look yourself in the mirror and be in the truck or be in the car and speak to yourself the words that you speak to everyone else. Because I love what Pastor Tim says. You know, we are gifted to communicate it, but we're not gifted to live this. And sometimes you need to be an audience of one, and you need to preach this to yourself. In this passage, we got 10 virgins who are waiting on the bridegroom, and let's just look at them real quick. All 10 wanted to be accepted by the bridegroom. All had gone through great work to prepare themselves outwardly to be accepted by the bridegroom. All knew where the bridegroom was going to meet them. All had a lamp. All of the virgins were prepared. Does it make sense? They all had the lamp. They all were dressed. They were all in the right place. They all started with a little bit of oil. They all were there, ready. The difference was this: half of them were wise, and the other half were foolish. Foolish. If you look up this word in this context, it means careless. They were careless. If you look this even deeper, it says, one who does not see what is necessary. Careless. We forget what is necessary to do the ministry that we've been called to do. Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil in your ministry? Who's got the oil in your small group? Who's got the oil in your children's church? Are you anointed? Are you hot? Is it fresh? Is it powerful? Is it working in you? Are you deep? If we're not careful, Ministry will work it out of you. Ministers, don't allow the work of the ministry to steal your ministry from God. You know, don't allow the ministry to steal your ministry. If we're not careful, we'll only raise up Marthas. We'll only raise up Marthas. And I'm not mad at Martha, because Martha gets some things done. She's a hard worker. But ultimately, she got rebuked because she was distracted with the household chores. And we all have household chores that we can get distracted with. And you know what? We have to fix the belt on the vacuum cleaner. We have to wipe down the tables. We have to organize the event. We have to sweep the mat before people walk in. We have to make sure the stage is clean. We have to do all of these things. And we can get distracted with household chores and miss Jesus. In the same place that Jesus is. You know what? If we just think about this, because I've had a hard time with the Mary Martha concept. You know what? Number one, because I'm a guy and it's hard for me to relate. You know what I'm saying? So that's my first issue with it. But if I take the concepts of the Mary Martha, I used to think, you know, this is just a matter of personalities. God loves Martha. God loves Mary. But as you dig into this and you get deep into this, here's the bottom line. That every contact that Jesus had with Mary and Martha, he was always looking for Mary. Martha ran up to see Jesus when he was coming back to see Lazarus. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus said, "Go get Mary. Go get Mary. I want to talk to Mary. We can talk. We can do. But I have something different with Mary than I do with you, Martha. I have something invested. There's a relationship. It's different. I have something different with your sister than I do with you." In John chapter 12, verse 3, we read, "And Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, oil, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair, and the house filled with the fragrance of perfume." Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil of anointing for your ministry, for your area? Who's got it? My wife. I love my wife. Oh, that's great. She's got one problem. Just one. Just one problem. And I need to communicate this, because I know everybody who looks at us has pity on her. I know that. Perception, sharpest attack, baby. Listen, and so I know when they see us, they automatically assume, "My God, she's a saint. Bless her heart. I'm going to pray for that woman. Living with that guy. Oh, my. I'd kill him. I'd kill him." And so my wife, I'm only going to tell this, because she has one flaw. My wife has one flaw. And it's very hard for me to deal with, but I am going to exploit this one flaw. And I'm going to tell the world. Here's what she does. She'll drive her car. And she will park her car in our carport. And I go somewhere, and if you don't know me, I'm always going. I want to be there before I'm there. I want to go. I want to go. And so I get in our vehicle. And over this last year, we had to share a vehicle. We were working on paying for a vehicle with some cash. And so we decided that we were going to go ahead and just relax a little bit, share a vehicle. And so we found intimacy and closeness and bond that really, now that I think about it, I'm good. I'm good. Good. And so I will go out to the vehicle and I start the car, and there is 1 mile of gas in the car. I've had to walk. My car died right on that road. This hadn't happened one time. Five. The gas says zero. And I'm like, I have two huge things of gas at my house now. I'm like Exxon. I'm a baby, pull that thing up. I feel it. We got gas stations here and there. You can't get to our house without passing a gas station. Ah! She's like, I don't like getting gas. Uh-huh. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Come against it. Get out. Listen, women can fight in the army. Get your gas. One. I don't even know what to do. I'm mad. And she looks at me. Like, and it's almost like, yeah, that's bad for you. I want tears. I want her crying. Babe, I know what you're about to have to go through. And I want you to know, you want me to walk with you. Well, I don't. If you don't get nothing from this word, I'm at least going to shame her into filling up that tank, boy. I got two objectives here, and you can have knowledge about oil. You can get great teaching about the importance of oil. You can read books about how to keep your oil filled. You can feel the effects of people who have the oil. But God is looking for people who overflow with the oil of anointing on their life. Who are deep with oil. Who are full with oil. Whose oil does not run out. Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? Ministers, who's got the oil? Come on. We've got to have the oil. I'm tired of walking into dead, lifeless churches with no spirit, no anointing. I'm not talking about sensationalism. I'm talking about someone who walks in the oil. Well, I can see someone who's been there, someone who's taken the time, who's gone over scripture, who's taken the time, made the investment, been on their knees, someone who's been there. Minister, we got to pay the price to be prepared and be ready to move. And what God's called us to do. We can't be ministers so busy that we don't pay a price. And it's a price. Because here's the deal. Good teaching produces knowledge. It doesn't break strongholds. The anointing breaks the strongholds. And the teaching comes in. And it's a 1-2. Mike Tyson. Y'all remember Mike Tyson? He had that combo, that 3 combo. And in a minute, you were falling down. In his prime, it was bam, bam, bam. Anointing, teaching, service. Anointing, teaching, service. Teaching them to act. Teaching them to be involved. And I'm talking about people take off. We got charismatic churches who were scared to speak in tongues. Pray for people. Take a moment to teach people how to hear God. Be quiet. Sit at his feet. Bless God. Where's the oil? I'm not trying to be a Baptist or a Methodist, and I'm not mad. I'm not mad, and there are Baptists here and Methodists, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. But here's the thing. We are in our ministries because we have got revelation from God, and we feel like this is it. Where's the oil? Where's the oil? Who's got it? Who's got it? I'm talking about being a weirdo. You know, We can be Marys and we can be we can do both. What I'm telling you is for Mary to work, to have the oil to pour it out means she wasn't lazy. I'm not talking about being lazy. I just wrote a book called Be the One. Plug, buy it. You know what I'm saying? I believe in action. I believe in doing. But here's what you need to say. To get the oil is doing. That is doing of the word, because you got to sit. You got to plan. You got to strategize. You got to think about it. That's all doing. You know, all of our work is to the glory of God. And God demands excellence in his ministry. But you know what? We got to be prepared before we do ministry. And I'm just saying, I just got done this last week. Took out my daughter, and we've done this a couple times. We had just a dad-daughter date. And man, she was so happy. I mean, I told Katie that I'd be there around 5. I showed up like 5:10, and Hallie Kate called Dad. Call Dad, 5 o'clock, call Dad. And, you know, and I told Katie, I didn't tell Hallie Kate, I was just like, I'll be there around 5. And so obviously they had a conversation, and my little girl was dressed up, had makeup, had the hair, little bow. She was, wait, where's Dad? Call him. The whole time she was with me, she's like doing these little things and skipping and doing, and it was just me and her. And I'm talking about it. I could see the value of this time and what I was producing in her life as I would get her out of the car. And babe, when you start dating, here's what I want you to see. And here's what these guys need to do. And walking her and teaching her what is going to happen here in the future. And showing her how to do that. Now listen, if she doesn't demand time with me, then I cannot teach her all the things that I need to teach her. There is so much value here. There's so much value here. And she does not even know all the things that I know that I want to teach her. And I've got to teach her based on where she's at. I got to teach her on a 5-year-old level. But I can't wait to teach her on a 12-year-old level. Are you getting this? I can't wait to teach her when she's 20. I can't wait to teach her. But we got to walk through those levels. But if we don't ever have the dad and me time, if we don't ever have that time, then I can't deposit into her what I want. And God, I believe, is saying to his ministers, I want a date. I want some time. Plan me a meeting. It don't have to be, if you're overly masculine, it don't have to be a date. Plan me a meeting. Sit down. Let's have a conference. Let's meet together. Let's talk. But I've got things that I want to show you that you don't know. All weekend, each teacher, I'm trying to remind you about the specific calling on your life. Your ministry needs to be sharp, effective, full of the Holy Spirit, walking in the overcoming power of God. Not down, out, hurting, ineffective, unhappy, and empty. Yeah. Talking about how, you know what, I didn't have time. Listen, I am for going and getting a podcast, reading a book, and doing all this. But here's what I have been seeing as I get to go and speak at different places. We are like the 5 virgins that came and now are in a moment where we don't have what we need. And so we run over here, and it's a whole lot easier for me to take notes on a podcast and preach it than for me to sit down and get my own. Well, they were in that moment. Hey, give me some. He's come. I got to perform. I got to do. He won't see me. We got to do. Now go get your own. I paid for this. There's something in here. I don't mind ministering to you, but you can't take what I got. This is my revelation based on my adversity, based on my pain, based on my understanding. You can't preach what I've walked through. You've got to get your own. God's got to be real in your life. We got to pay the price to do that. Listen, we got way too many ministers experiencing burnout and being stressed out. Amen? I'm not saying we don't get hurt, but I'm saying we don't stay wounded. I'm not saying we don't experience the fire of adversity, but what I'm saying is we come out and we don't smell like smoke. I'm not saying there aren't hard moments, but I'm saying we don't make it a hard lifestyle. Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? Why am I talking to you about this? Because it is the anointing, and it is the anointing oil of God. It is the anointing that breaks the yokes. And I'm just trying to tell us that we cannot be hindered, we cannot be trapped, and life cannot be stolen from us as ministers. Who's got the oil? You know what? I'm going to tell you who's got the oil. It is the ones who set the stage, schedule, strategize, and step away. I'll say it again. They set the stage for something to happen. They strategize. They strategize. They schedule an appointment. They strategize. They make it happen. And they can step away. Even Jesus did this. This is not awkward. Remember when the disciples were going and coming and going and coming? And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got everybody going and coming too much. Come away with me. Come away with me. The needy you will always have. There will always be one more event, one more thing, one more this. But we need you to stay in, leave a legacy, develop other people. We can't have you burned out, broken marriage, kids off all crazy, because then that hurts your ministry. We need you to stay. We need you to be in the ministry for 30 or 40 years, raising up 5 or 6 people. We need you to do that. We don't need you to have a good 5 years. We need good 50 years from you. Step away. Step away. You got to set the stage, schedule, strategize, and step away. Jesus set the stage. He set the stage. Guys, here's what's important now. He scheduled. Here's when we're going to meet back together, and I'm going to do this. He strategized. And he let the disciples know, it's okay to step away. It's all right to do that. It's okay to do that. Ministers, there will always be a need. But we got to stir up. Right now, all over this place, we got to stir up the gift. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says, for this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God, which has been imparted into you by laying on of hands. For God did not give us the spirit of intimidation, but of power. Come on. Love and discipline. Sound mind. Be full. Be refreshed. Who's got the oil? 50% of these virgins came with no oil, no excess. What if 50% of our ministers here were dry? Dry. They all showed up to the party seemingly the same. But listen, time showed what was really there. Time. Time. We used to know this back in the day. We used to know this. Come on. There used to be songs about this. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. We used to know something about oil. We used to know something about keeping it hot. We used to know, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning to the break. We used to know this. Listen, who's got the oil? Worship leaders, who's got the oil? Children's church leaders, who's got the oil? Group leader, who's got the oil? Senior pastor, who's got the oil? You know, back, I'm just telling you, we got to have it. The oil of anointing. And you only get it with time spent. Stop waiting for a feeling. We got way too many people trying to navigate their relationship with God on a feeling. Feelings follow action. Action don't follow feelings. You do it, and a feeling comes. That's what I learned at a men's seminar, a marriage seminar. If you want to work on your marriage, get to a marriage seminar. Tim and Terry do one. It's great. But as I started thinking about that comment, Tim, I started thinking, man, that's just like the Lord. Man, that's just like the Lord. If you're waiting for a feeling to spend time with God or spend time with your mate, if you're waiting on a feeling to do that, then you ain't going to do it. You do it and the feeling comes. You're there and you have your time and you're regimented. Listen, I'm just telling you, we got to set the stage. We got to schedule. We got to strategize. We got to step away. Pump in those teaching tapes, CDs. Get the word going in your life. Start a fast. Turn off the television. Start a Bible study. Begin to listen to some worship music. Have some prayer longer than your shower. Talking about I prayed. You multitask in the shower. That's not prayer. That doesn't touch the heart of the Father. I'm praying in my vehicle. While you're catching a call and about to hit a car and watching the bus with kids on it and all that, you're tapping in and boy, you're going right there, aren't you? Listen, do what you need to do. Because I'm just telling you, there is no way to do all the things that we have been teaching you to do unless the oil of anointing is moving in your life. You hear what I'm saying? It's important. It's important. It's important. We got to stop ministering out of an empty tank, and we need some anointing. Look at me. Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? Who's got the oil? There's a price to pay for that. A price to pay for that. And you know what? Here, and I want to just take a couple minutes. But in your own heart, go ahead and turn that up, Brandon. Turn it up. Turn it up. I want to fill this room up. I'm going to take 5 minutes. But right where you're at, if you need to repent, I want you to do that. What's still in your oil? Is it finances? Is it pride, ego, lust, insecurity? Are you not spending time with the Lord? Come on, all over this place. We're just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, that's all right. You can do that. You may need to get up and walk. You may need to kneel. Turn that up. It's not loud enough. Come on, all over this place. You may need to speak in tongues. God is going to move in this place. Well, right now, you're starting to feel yourself being filled up. Filled up. The anointing, the oil. Right there, the anointing is moving all on you for your ministry, for your area. You don't even know how you had that thought. You don't even know how you came up with that idea. It was just supernatural. You know what? Everybody thought that idea was dumb, but it grew a crowd. It transformed an area. Come on, right now, the oil of anointing right there. Right there. The oil of anointing on your life. Sharp ministers, full ministers, ministers who are ready, ministers who are bold and courageous, ministers who have the word of God in their life, ministers who can serve. All over this place, who's got the oil? Because there's 50%. God just sent us a percentage. 50% will have it. I want to be part of that 50. I want to be part of that 50 that has the oil of anointing. That you know what? That it moves through me. That I'm not too busy. That I'm not a Martha. That I'm a Mary. I can do good work. I can get it done. I'm a doer of the word. But I understand that every good thing comes from God. Come on, ministers. Minister to the Lord. Minister to yourself. You don't need to be taught how to do this. You know how to do it. Thank you, Father. We remove distractions right now. We bind doubt in the name of Jesus right now. We bind insecurity right now in the name of Jesus. We bind those things, those lies of the enemy. Devil, you are a liar. You're a liar in Jesus' name. God, these are your people equipped to change the body of Christ, to transform. Oil of anointing. The oil. God, we repent for putting the house above you. Many have called me Lord, Lord. They've prophesied and cast out demons in my name, but I did not know them. I love the church. The church transforms the world, but it's not first. God, accept an offering from us today. We worship you. We honor you. We love you. You're a good God. You're bigger than how many people come to our church. You're bigger than what the finances are. You're bigger than the building project. You're bigger than all. You're bigger. You're first. You're bigger than our name. You're first. The oil of anointing. Thank you, Father. You're a good God. You align our perspective. We will not be disqualified by just good works alone. Thank you. It is valuable. It is valuable for you. It is valuable for the longevity of your area of ministry. Nothing will take offense away like being in His presence. Nothing will help you think right like being in His presence. I'm for studying. I'm for learning. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be out of balance. What I'm telling you is I read, I study, I do all of these things. But we've got to have time where we have the oil. Ministers, who's got the oil?
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more information about other messages by the pastors of Christian Ministries Church, please log on to our webpage at www.cmchurch.com. You can visit our online store, or you can download messages free from our podcast link.